Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm too used to it being the morning. That threw me right off. There we go. Start off and was going to be just perfect until I started. Anyways, just to let you know, we will be having our, there will be a service on New Year's Eve. And for those of you who are, you know, a little more risque, you may want to be there. You know, get your grace before. Yeah, it's in the morning. I'm just before they go out for New Year's Eve. That was supposed to be a joke, everyone. I'm not very good at that. And so we will be back to normal. Welcome to Mountain View Church, all of you. And it's nice to see so many new faces here tonight. I was sitting there talking to Jason, and we were kind of just appreciating how we can all be together. There was one service where it was me and Jason and a cameraman. Do you remember those days? Yeah, I don't miss those at all either. So let's just take a moment now and let's quiet our hearts and prepare for worship. Today, we join together and we celebrate the coming of a king, unlike any king that has come before. A king not born to wealth and power and privilege. A king born in a cowshed, in a way that no one socially would have accepted at the time. We are doing something today, and we are celebrating something today that if it was just a human event, it would have been long forgotten. But because this was God's way, it is now the one event that is celebrated worldwide more than any other event. Let's take a time and listen afresh through the music, through the word, again, and let's try and be as blown away as they were when they first heard this. And let us out of that welcome worship in our heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are the only God who has come through your Son, through a baby, and become fully human. You chose to do what we could not do. You stood in the gap, the abyss that was uncrossable for us. We are just weak and vessels. Help us to be in awe again. Help us to realize again what this story really means and why the world worships tonight. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. May you fill us and remind us of the great love that is represented here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm very excited to welcome our Sunday school. So they're going to do the final two readings of the Advent season.
The word Advent means approach. This is the season where we wait for the approach of God's love in human form. This is where we witness the divine located in human flesh. In this season of waiting, divine love approaches us in the form of a baby. Here we are reminded of love's humble nature, soft embrace, and tender patience. God's love is strong enough to be vulnerable and courageous enough to come close to you.
Today we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of love. Christmas Eve is the long night when all those who listen await the child's cry. We watch and we pray. We know our God will come. As we light the final candle of Advent, the Advent season, the Christ candle. We trust that hope, love, joy, and peace are born to us again this year. We need it more than ever.
Like this small and momentous light, we notice that a flicker can change the whole room. The cold gives way to warmth. Conflict gives way to calm. The darkness gives way to the light.
We share the small flame of love with one another and with the world God loves. In us and around us, Christ of all, be light.
Feel free to stand and sing.
Good news of great joy for every woman and every man. This will be a sign of you, a baby born in Bethlehem. Do not be afraid. The company of angels, glory in the highest. On the earth, peace among those on whom this favor rests. Come and worship.
time.
Seated. We have Bob reading the scripture here.
Well, welcome everybody. We're thrilled that we can be together and share in this evening. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. And they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen.
Feel free to stand and sing.
Come.
Call the kids forward. No? Yeah? Oh, pardon me. Jordan, scripture reading. Yeah.
Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Just a little donkey carried heaven's precious light. for the Christ child born upon this day.
H is for holy is his name.
R is for rejoice with gladness and joy.
I is for Emmanuel, God with us.
S is for the star that led the wise men to him.
T is for the truth and grace sent our way.
M is for the manger where baby Jesus lay.
A is for the angels singing songs of joy.
S is for God's son, a special little boy.
Continue with the Christmas story, reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Feel free to stand and sing. a seat. Jim's going to come up.
There was a night many years ago, and that's why we're here tonight, to celebrate a holy night in which our Savior was born.
Holy day.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Amen. We had a problem this year. The ladies went to set up the nativity scene, and we had one missing piece. Can you guess? Jesus. Of course, Jesus, right? And you can't just, like in these little things, go grab your baby doll from your kid's thing because it looks like a giant. So we were in a bit of a pickle. As I watch it, I guess it's been resolved. I don't know if we found it in-house or if there was another set. It made me wonder, as I was sitting there thinking about it, how many times has the church missed Jesus? How many times have we forgotten Jesus? How many times on Christmas Eve have we forgotten Jesus? We like to do the, mine's not working, guys, so I'm going to, don't move it yet. No, not yet. No, go back, back. But I'm going to try something really quick here because I want to be in control. Control. Okay, let's see if it works. How many times have I been in doing Christmas services? And I have done a ton, and we've spent tons of times with songs and dance and children's. I went to one, I don't know if you guys have been to the one where like you have like the tree that sings. Have you ever been to that? That's something to see. I was at one where they had like the whole living nativity, which really made for an interesting odor in the sanctuary by the end. There was a ton of entertainment, but there were sometimes you walked away and you felt entertained, but I wonder, did we miss Jesus? Well, right now, this is going around right now. It's on social media. Want to keep Christ in Christmas? Feed the hungry, comfort the afflicted, love the outcast, forgive the wrongdoer, inspire the homeless. Right? Homeless? Did it say hopeless? Homeless. Okay, either one. Usually they're the same. But the point being is, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Want to keep Christ in Christmas? Do these wonderful things. But what if I told you this is actually missing Jesus? You see, I know why this is here. This came out because of the culture wars around Christmas. We all know those, right? And by the way, I'm not unsympathetic for those people who are a little bit curious why Christians are arguing over Starbucks cups they're paying $7 for because it doesn't have a cross on it. I get that. But see, the problem that I have with these kind of things is it makes it about us. If we're going to keep Christ in Christmas, let us go and do these wonderful moral things. They are good things, by the way. But let me ask you a question. Does that keep Christ in Christmas, us doing good things? By the way, you can join any religion that I'm aware of, and it will tell you to do good things. And there's many of them have no Christ. So how do you keep Christ in Christmas? How do we keep the baby there? Well, here's the problem. We have trouble with it because this story is bizarre. And it racks our brains if we really give it a thought. This story is laughable to human reason. And we wrestle with every way possible to get ourselves out from under this story. We have all kinds of ways of doing this. But two main ways I've seen within the church is we either create a divinized human or a humanized God. What I mean by that is, first we'll take the divinized human. This is the person inspired, but he's a very human being. And we like Jesus as a very human being who has a bit of God in him. He's going to show us the nice way and get to do nice moral things. We see him as a prophet, as a nice guy. He's the guy that's going down in with his shopping bag and handing out goodies on Christmas. This divinized Jesus you'll go and see in a lot of churches. He's the nice guy. The Muslims like the divinized human. That's why they make Jesus a prophet. The Jehovah's Witnesses like the divinized human. They make him an angel. The divinized human is the one, because we can't grasp that the God who made everything could possibly be human. And then there's the second one. This one is the humanized God. It's really a God, but kind of put on a human, you know, body snatcher kind of situation. And we've seen these through centuries and centuries, and people have this with Jesus too. Achilles, Hercules, all of these great, Superman is a humanized God. Outside of the kryptonite, he can do whatever he wants, right? He doesn't really a human being, he just kind of looks like one. And that's how people look at Jesus. Because it fits us. We can make sense because God is way out there, created everything. We know, as long as you're not a flat earther, you're probably going to be okay with the fact that things go on forever. And maybe for flat earthers, I don't know actually, I don't know anything about flat earthers. Shut up, Emery. Okay. They always say don't preach on things you have no idea what you're talking about, and I just did. But we all have seen the pictures of the cosmos. And it's amazing. And the more you study it, the more blown away you are of the greatness of things. And that's why human beings make gods great. Always have. In control. And we also go and look at human beings and we are even the ones who think they're great. No, we're kind of pathetic. So we either make a very sweet human, a divinized human, or we make this great God who looks human. But guess what? That's not what this story says. This story says this. God became 100% fully human. Now, if you're having trouble with that, welcome to planet Earth. God, who created everything you see, everything you can know, every power, all of the cosmos, everything, every dimension, became human. Fully. And that human, ready for this? Was fully God. Now you might say to yourself, yeah, I believe it. If you can just say to yourself, yeah, I get it, I don't think you've really given it much thought. If you can get that, go write a book, you'll make billions. This is supposed to be a mystery. This is supposed to overwhelm us. This is supposed to make us shocked. B.B. Warfield said, the glory of the incarnation, it is it presents to us, to our adoring gaze, not a humanized God or a deified man, but a true God-man. One who is all that God is, and at the same time, all that human is. All that man is. One whose almighty arm we can rest and to whose human sympathy we can appeal. And it doesn't make sense. And that's the point. Because if you can make a God with your reason, you are God. This God transcends. He's not Superman. And he's not just a nice moral figure. Jesus Christ came as God in the flesh, and is fully human. Well, my friends, guess what? We're supposed to tonight go back to that manger. That's what the church wanted. And we're supposed to stare like they did at that infant and wrap our minds around the fact that that human being, fully human, was fully God, and then work it out. And that's what the church did. Because if that's true, it says two things. God is way different than we think. He's not way out there doing his thing for power and wealth. He comes right here. His character, there's no place you can hide. There's no spot in your life he will not come into. If he's willing to go into a cow shed that smelt like feces, do you think he's not willing to go anywhere to come into you and your life? And secondly, and equally important, it says something about being human. God likes us. I know it's a shock because most people think God wants to throw us into hell. But I'd argue, no. He wants us to be who he created us to be. And he knew we weren't going to do it. So he came and said, I'll step in because I think that highly of you. That's amazing. That's what this is about. If we want to get Jesus back there, we're going to have to go back and get that Jesus. Then he will stay. And then, funny thing, what did they say again over here? Want to greet Christ and Christmas, feed the hungry, whatever, whatever. Here's the thing, when you actually get that God, and you realize this is the kind of God he is, and this is what he thinks of humanity, I guarantee you won't have to be guilted into it. You'll want to do the things of this kind of God, and you might find out you'll want to feed the hungry. You'll want to comfort the afflicted. You want to love the outcast. You want to forgive the wrongdoer. And you want to inspire the hopeless. I tell you the truth. This is the hardest sermon you do every year. Because everyone thinks they know what this is about. And you realize you don't even know what it's about. That we just have to sit back and listen. And that it's okay to go, wow, this is bigger than me. But he did this for me. I'd recommend that you go out and share this with people, but I'm going to warn you, people will not get this. I had to do this quote from Dorothy Sayers. By the way, wonderful author, if you want to read somebody. Dorothy said, the dogma of the incarnation is the most dramatic thing about Christianity, and indeed the most dramatic thing that ever entered the mind of man. But if you tell people so, they stand and look at you in bewilderment. This story, there's no story like it. There's no God like this one. It's either completely true or completely false. But if it is completely true, it changes everything. And guess what? It means that we have a God who's going to get us to eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great graciousness to us, to your incredible love. To the fact that you have come and become fully human, that you have said yes to us through your Son. This Christmas, may we go and may we be amazed again that the God who is willing to go that far is the one true God of heaven and earth. Amen.
Feel free to stand and sing. Yeah, the candle. Are we doing the candle thing now? Okay.
Holy night, all is calm.
tell you something. This God that transcends reason, this 100% human, 100% God, went on and carried a cross for us. And he bore our sins on himself, the curse, for us. But it didn't end there. This 100% human, 100% God was resurrected. Resurrected as a human and as God. And I have good news. This 100% human, 100% God is coming back. And if he went this far to come the first time, do you think he won't make it? Put your faith in this God. He's the only one worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good. You blow our minds with the love you've shown by becoming human. You've shown us that you're not going to let go. Help us to put our trust in you, the one that would be born in a manger. And help us to leave tonight in our joyful celebration with friends and family, with the embracing of the mystery of what this is about, and may it change us throughout this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.